Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Yud Dalet. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Dalet. You will notice Abaye's name appears in a diamond, as well as 3 lines from the bottom. And on the side, in the margin, we have a Nosei / Mivne heading. A diamond appears, and we've written the following. The Nosei, of course, is the topic heading, and Mivne the structural note. Shnei Halochis Shel Abaye, 2 rulings of Abaye, V'chol Echod Yesh Shnei Lishnois, within each ruling, which you can see are numbered with Roman numerals 1 and 2, you will see with the Roman numerals 1 and 2 initially point out the 2 lishnos under the first diamond. In the second diamond we also have 2 lishnos there. We've also noted that. So these teachings appear be'inyan mechiras karkois ubo balchov v'toref me'alokech. We're going to feature cases of sales of land and the creditor of the land seller comes along with his claim that the land is due to him, is owed to him by virtue of a lien that he has on it, and he tries to collect it. V'toref is to collect it mehalokeh, from the purchaser. We're going to feature Mechira V'Achrayis, a sale with a guarantee that if anything should happen to it, if the buyer should lose it, so the seller will make good on it. And Mechira Shelo V'Achrayis, a case of a sale without the provision of a guarantee. The issue that we will confront is does the seller have a right to intervene with claims that might benefit the purchaser, enabling him to retain the land? Or, once he has sold the land, so the seller who is out of the picture, and the creditor can claim that I have nothing to do with you. The Gemara. Omar Abaye. Ruvain Shemohar Soder L'Shimon. Ruvain sold a parcel of land to Shimon, the Achrayis, providing a guarantee. Ubal Balchov de Ruvain, and the creditor of Ruvain. Ruvain owed this man money prior to the sale. He comes along, Uvekotorif Le Mine, and comes and collects the land from Shimon with the claim that he had a previous lien on the land that Shimon purchased. Dinahu the Ozil Ruvain Umishtoi Dino Bahade. It's within the realm of justice, of law, that Ruvain can intervene and offer claims that would enable Shimon to retain the land. There's a Rashi. You'll see on the fourth line under the Gemara text, Lishtiye Dina Bahade de Valchov, that Ruvain can intervene and argue against the creditor, Ulesalkum al Shimon, Behol Taina Shiuchal Liton, and remove him with claims that he can legitimately make if it's reality. Velomar, Poraticho, Kach Vekach, I already paid you such and such an amount. Oi, Kach Vekach, Yesh Li Olechot Via, or though you have a claim against me, I have a claim against you. Vani ma'akev choiv ze tachtov. And I am withholding based on my claim against you instead of your collecting the land and with your claim of my owing you money, but you also owe me money. So you have no business trying to collect the land. Those are possible arguments that Reuven, who sold the land, can make against the creditor in order to preserve Shimon's possession of the land. And we say that Reuven can intervene. We continue in the Gemara, Velo Motzi Omar Leh, and the Balchov cannot say to Reuven, Lav Bal Dvorim Didiat. You have, I have nothing to do with you. The issue is between me and the buyer of the land. In other words, between me and Shimon. The Gemara explains why is it that Reuven, the seller, still has a right to intervene. The Omar Lei, Reuven can tell the Baal Chov, the Mafkis Minei, that which you take away from him, if you successfully extract the land from the from Shimon who bought from me, Olai Didi Hodar, he's going to come seize reparations from me. So I'm very much involved in this case. Ika Diamri, another version is Afilu Shelo Bachrayes Nami, even if the sale that Reuven made to Shimon was without offering Shimon a guarantee. Reuven can still intervene. The Omar Lei, Reuven can say to the Baal Chov, Lo Nicho Li, it's uncomfortable for me, the Levi L'Shimon Taruma Salai, that Shimon should have a grudge against me. Though Shimon doesn't have a financial claim against me, he still might have a feeling of a grudge against me for having sold him land that he was unable to retain. The Omar Avai, Reuven Shemochar Sode L'Shimon, Shelo Bachrayes, V'yotsu Alo Asikin. Reuven sold land to Shimon without a guarantee. And then there arose Asikin. Asikin, Rashi says, Ururin. Murmurings, complaints that someone else has the legitimate rights to the land and not Shimon. So now, what can Shimon do in light of the fact that now there are these murmurings against his holding of the land? Ad shelo hichzik ba, prior to his formal acquisition of the land, hichzik is to take possession of the land. Yochol lachzor bo, he can back out. Rashi points out that b'shaloi nosan mos, no money was paid yet. No money was paid, and Shimon did not make a chazoka on the land. He didn't do an act of acquisition. So if we're at this stage, at this early stage, so Shimon can back out of the deal. I don't want to get involved with a land purchase that has murmurings against it. However, Mishichzik Boinu Yochol Lachzor Bo, once he, Shimon, the purchaser, made a chazaka on the land, he cannot back out. The Omar Lei, Reuven, the seller, can say, Chayso de Katri Savris Vekablis, literally a bag full of knots you agreed to buy. Me'emosai havi chazaka, from at what point is chazaka? We just said that once Shimon makes a chazaka, he cannot back out. So the point is, Michidayish Amitzori. Rashi says, on the third line from the top, Michidayish Amitzori, Mesakein Vulei Hasode Umagbiom. He makes repairs on the field's borders and raises them. So it has to... Kinyan Chazoka, the acquisition through Chazok is through his, let's say, caring for the field's borders. V'ika Diamri. Another version is afilu ba'achrayas nami. Even if the sale was with a guarantee, as opposed to the first lashon, we call the aleph lashon that we have in our Mark Gemaras, where the case was presented as a sale from Reuven to Shimon without a guarantee. Here we're saying even if the sale was made with a guarantee, the buyer cannot back out once he makes a chazoka on the land. The Omar Lay, the seller can say, I know, I realize there are murmurings, but that doesn't mean that the land was taken away from you yet. Achvi tirpoch v'ashalem loch. Let's look at Rashi on the in the narrow lines, the fourth narrow line. The Omar Lay, achvi tirpoch v'ashalem loch. Kishiyamiducha bedin, when you are brought to court, to justice, v'yizku bedin v'yichtoiv loch hadayin shtar toref alai, and in the course of the a court appearance, you are shown to be fit to recover from me compensation, and the court and the judge writes a shtar toref alai. That's a document indicating that since you lost the land to the creditors, you have a right to come against me and collect from me. Shebedin tirfua mimcha, that in a justified fashion, they, the creditors, collected the land that I sold to you. Bishvili, ba vashalein loch, v'chol kama delo amadita bedin eini yorei mehem. And as long as you haven't appeared in court with this procedure taking place, I am not worried about the murmurings. Only at the point that those murmurings come to fruition and the creditors successfully or previous owners or whomever successfully get the land away from you, and the court issues a written ruling enabling you to exercise the guarantee that I provided for you, then I will compensate you. But not just because there are mere murmurings going on out there. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the side in the margin where we have our topic heading, the Nosei. It reads, Hagoizel Sodeh, one who stole a field, Umochro Lelokeach, and sold it to a purchaser, Vishbicha. And the purchaser made improvements. And then the victim of the theft, the actual owner, comes and takes his field from the purchaser. When the purchaser comes to seek restitution for the loss of his field, and he wants payment from the thief that sold it to him, what does he collect? Number one, mo'is mashishilem, though he collects the cash, the amount that he paid, he gets in return. And number two, regarding the shevach, the improvements that the purchaser made, and his ability to recover that, machlekes Rav u'Shmuel, that will bring us into a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. The issue that we're presented with is the following. The purchaser, let us say, paid $100 for the field. He paid that to the thief. He made improvements worth another $20. The thief basically sold him a bag of hot air because it wasn't the thief's field to sell. However, the thief in the meantime received money from the purchaser. You might look at that money, which the purchaser eventually is going to get back, as a loan. In other words, in the meantime, while the thief is holding on to the money, he'll do with the money whatever he wants. Later on, he'll have to pay back the purchase price. Fine. But if you say that the thief is going to have to pay back the improvements as well, the additional $20, so in effect the thief received $100, the original purchase price, and now is going to be paying back $120, that may appear as interest, as ribis. And ribis is, of course, forbidden in Jewish law. It's forbidden from the Torah to take interest from a fellow Jew. So can this lokeach demand the shevach, the improvements as well? The Gemara. We continue with the Gemara, five lines from the top. Yitmar ha-moichir sode l'chavero v'nimseis she'eino shelo. Person sold a field to a purchaser, and it turns out that it was not his to sell. Rashi says, she'eino shelo, Rashi across from here, shelo hoisa shel moicher, it wasn't the seller's to sell. Shehoisa gzula biyada, it was stolen in his hands. V'hanigzal bo umotzi miyad halokeach. And the original owner, the actual owner, comes and extracts the field, recovers the field from the purchaser. The Gemara continues. Rav Omar yesh lo imos v'yesh lo shevach. The purchaser can demand from the seller the purchase price, and if the purchaser made improvements in the land, Rashi gives examples of through fertilizing it or building a fence around it before the owner extracted it from the purchaser. This purchaser can collect from the mocher, from the seller, those improvements, the value of those improvements. The Rashi raises the issue and says that maybe you'll say the nigzal, the original owner, should pay the shevach. After all, the purchaser is returning to the original owner a field worth more than his original field was. So Rashi says that is not a question, because that's not a suggestion, because we're speaking about a case of the original field that was stolen had these improvements in it. And while the thief was holding on to it, he allowed it to depreciate. And only later did the purchaser restore it to its improved state. So we can't expect the original owner to compensate the purchaser for those improvements. So as far as Rav is concerned, the purchaser gets full financial restitution for the purchase price and the improvements he made. Ushmuel, we continue in the Gemara. Ushmuel, Amar Mois, Yeshla, purchase price he can recover from the thief, from the seller. Shevach Ein Lo. However, the improvements he is not entitled to. Bo Mine Me Rav Huna. The question was asked of Rav Huna. Piresh Lo Es HaShevach Mahu. According to Shmuel, who said that the purchaser doesn't get the improvements, he does not get compensation for the improvements. Let us say, when the sale took place between the thief and the purchaser, the seller, i.e. thief, made a deal and said, made a condition, if the field is taken from you, I will pay you the shevach. So, what will Shmuel say? And we give you two sides of the question. Aleph, and then the next line we squiggle on Oy Dilmo, Beis, or possibly the opposite. Taimo de Shmuel Mishum Dolo Pirish. The reason that Shmuel said that he doesn't get a Shevach is because possibly it wasn't spelled out. Mishum Dolo Pirish Shvacha. The Shevach wasn't spelled out. Vahocha ha Pirish law. But in this particular case, where we're asking our question, it was spelled out. Oy Dilma, Taime, and therefore he should receive the he should be entitled to receive the Shevach. Oy Dilma, or possibly Taime de Shmuel. The reasoning behind Shmuel is not related to whether or not it was spelled out, but rather Kevon de Les Le Karka, since in the original sale, as we described before, he was selling a bag of hot air. the mocher received money. He received $100 for, as we said, as a loan, because he wasn't selling land. It wasn't his to sell to begin with. So if he's going to now pay back more money than he originally received, i.e. he's going to pay back for the Shevach, merci keribis, it appears as ribis, as interest being paid. Let us point out that the Torah prohibition of interest is when money initially is given as a loan with a stipulated increased return based on passage of time or what have you. In this case, we say merci, it appears as ribis, because the money wasn't given initially as a loan per se. But it looks like ribis. In what sense? As we said before, the seller received $100 and now is going to be paying back $120, the $20 to cover the Shevach as well. So that was the question that was asked of Rav Huna. Omar le, Rav Huna said in velav verafio biyode. Rashi explains in velav tchila Omar in, at first he said yes, in other words that he's entitled to the Shevach, the payment for the improvements, and then he said no. Rofui hoya hadover biyodo, it was literally loose in his hands. What do we mean loose in Rav Huna's hands? Shelohya dea tamo shodover yofa, he wasn't clear on the real reason behind Shmuel. So, as far as Rav Huna is concerned, and the Gemara's report of Rav Huna's response, we don't have a clear answer as to what would be, according to Shmuel, if the seller had specified that I will compensate you for the Shevach as well. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a note on the side, the Nosei, Hemshech. Hemshech means a continuation. Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel Psak Halacha. Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, issued a halachic ruling. Mois Yeshlo Shevach Einlo de Merci Keribis. Idea of the Mocher, the seller, in the case of Nimse Sheni Shelo, the field that wasn't his to sell, and that seller compensating for the Shevach, the it's not to be paid, the improved value, it's not to be repaid to the purchaser because of the ribis issue. And we saw that above in the Rav Huna presentation, where the question was asked Rav Huna, we had Aleph Oy Dilma Beis, just a couple lines up. The Beis is the approach that Rav Nachman is taking here. You'll notice also we have a firebox marking around Rav Nachman. The Gemara is going to be dealing with Rav Nachman for quite a while. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Itmar Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel Mois Yeshlo Shevach Einlo Afal Pi Shepiresh Lo Esa Shevach. Even if the seller spelled out the his willingness to compensate for the Shevach, my taima, why Kevon de Karka Ein Lo Schar Moisef Oymed Venoitel, since the seller never had the land in the first place to sell, the seller, when he's paying back the money, if he would pay more than he received in the initial sale, he would be paying schar ma'osav. That, in other words, is he's paying interest. If he received $100 for the sale of the land that wasn't his, and he's going to pay back $120, that extra 20 is viewed as schar ma'osav, as his a borrower's willingness to pay for having the use of someone else's money, which we call interest. The Gemara asks, Esve Rava Lerav Nachman. You'll notice we have a triangle marking, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading structural note, these triangles are kushos al psakanal. There are questions on this ruling. The Rayim Mimakuris, we will see from sources, the Halakeach Yochel Ligvois HaShevach, the purchaser is entitled to recovering the improvements he made, that extra amount. The Loy Choshishim Mishum Ribas in it. And it appears that we're not concerned with the appearance of interest. Just take a bird's eye view of the sugya before we get into it. You'll notice how the triangles continue down to the lower part of this page. All of these are questions on the ruling of Rav Nachman. Esvei Rova L'Rav Nachman, and the question takes a few lines to develop, as you can see with our long question marking. Ein Moitzien L'Achilas Peros. This Tanaic source, I want to emphasize, is explained later in the Gemara. As the Gemara goes on, the source is explained. So we're not going to commit ourselves at this stage to dealing with the details of the source, other than that which is necessary for the immediate understanding of the Gemara. I hope that later you'll appreciate, after we go through this sukkah, how so much of the information presented here undergoes changes through the Gemara. So we're not going to commit ourselves to any thorough or detailed explanation at the initial stage. So in the source it says that Ein motzin l'achilas peros u'l'shvach karkois u'l'mozoin ha'isha v'abonois minechosem ishu'abodim. When collection is made for these payments, we mentioned achilas peros, shvach karkois, mozoin ha'isha v'abonois. These the payment for these things is not to be recovered from ishu'abodim. Those are properties that were sold after any of these debts were incurred or established. And why don't we collect from the Mishubadim, from subsequent purchasers? Mipnei Tikkun Ha'olam. We look at Rashi in the lower part, the further down in the narrow lines from where we are in the Gemara. Rashi says, Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Shima ta'oimer yitrifu lukuchos al kach. If you're going to subject purchasers of land from the individual who incurred these payments, ein lucha adam shalokech soda mechavero. People are not going to engage in any real estate transactions. Why? Daha ein lucha adam she'ein chayv zeh mutol alav. Everyone has these kind of debts upon them. The debts that were mentioned that we didn't explain yet. But these are debts that everyone carries upon themselves. And if you're going to say that in the event that the owner, the original owner of the land doesn't have any land left or any means of paying off these debts, that you as a purchaser are going to be sought out to cover his debts, the dover shein lo kitzvahi. These are payments that aren't fixed, set, one-time payments. They're ongoing payments. Vachilos peros v'shevach karkois nami dover shein einu yoduahu v'ein halukuchos yodim lizor b'kach. These other payments, achilos peros and shevach karkois, that were also mentioned in this source, are payments that are not known by the public. And they don't know to be careful before purchasing the land to know whether or not the seller has these debts upon him. Therefore, we don't subject purchasers to having to pay for these payments. And now we go on in the Gemara. Mimishabdi hu delo mafkinon. From purchasers, we don't extract these payments. Ha mi b'nei chayrin mafkinon. However, from properties or cash that the original seller still has, we will insist on these payments be made. V'katoni miha l'shevach karkois. And amongst the different payments referred to here was land improvements. What's the scenario? What is meant by this? What's the case? My lav beloikeach migazlon. Is it not, in fact, the case we referred to before? Namely, someone purchased land from a thief. He bought land that the thief did not own in the first place. The purchaser made improvements. And this source is telling us, or inferred from the source, is that the purchaser, after making the improvements, has a right to collect the value of those improvements from the thief who sold him the land. So the thief got $100 for the price of the land, and he's going to be paying back to the purchaser the shevach karkos, which is an additional $20. So he paid initially $100, and he's going to get now $120. And that is unlike Rav Nachman. That's against Rav Nachman's approach. As far as that extra $20 that's being paid for shevach karkos, for the improvement made in the land, as we saw in the source, you're not going to be able to go to subsequent purchasers, even if they happen to be legitimate land purchases from this thief. We don't bother them because of tikkun olam, but the thief himself is, that's the b'nei chori that we referred to, that we inferred. The property that he, the thief himself, is still holding on to, his own money, his own properties, are subject to collection to cover shevach kakos. Once again, that is a question on Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, lo, the source is not referring to a case of buying from a gazlan, from a thief. Rather, bebal chov, it's talking about a different case. Someone had a legitimate holding on land. He happened to also be a person indebted. He had creditors. He had people that had loaned. The seller of the land is a person who happened to have incurred a debt because of borrowing money. And sometime after borrowing the money, this Love is the borrower, he sold land to a purchaser. When time came to pay up the debt, the Love, the borrower, didn't have the means of paying up the debt. So what did the creditor do? He went to the purchaser who bought from that seller, i.e. borrower of money, a purchaser who bought after the original loan was extended to the Loveh, and the Baal Chov has a right, being that he received the loan with a guarantee, he can take the loan, he can take the land from the purchaser. In the meantime, though, before the creditor sought collection from the Lokeach, in the meantime, the Lokeach had made improvements. So you have a case of someone buying land for $100. He paid that to the seller. He made improvements in the land. We were using the example before of another $20, another whatever. That's arbitrary, another $50 of improvements in the land. And the Baal Chov, the creditor, took the land from the lokeach, from the purchaser. He took a piece of land now worth $150. The lokeach, the purchaser, is going to seek compensation from whom? From the seller, the one who sold him the land. We called him the Lova before, the fellow who borrowed the money. And the lokeach is going to be seeking compensation not only for the purchase price, but for the improvements that he made as well. Now, the case of Baal Chov, let us contrast it for a moment with the case of the thief. In the case of the thief, there was no sale to begin with. It was selling. He was selling him a bag of hot air. In this case, the sale is a real sale. That's an important point of information to bear in mind as we go on in the Gemara. Let's continue. We go back to the Gemara text, and the triangle indicates that we're going to raise a question. E bebal chov, emo resha. If the source that we just read is speaking about a bal chov, a creditor coming to recover land from a purchaser, and not the case of Gazlon and the purchaser, emo resha. State the beginning of the source. Ein motzien la'achilas peros. We saw a statement which we indicated before that we didn't explain it at all, but now we're going to approach this phrase with an explanation. Payment for peros, we mentioned before, is not to be made from mishubodim, from subsequent purchasers, but from property that the individual himself has, he'll have to pay for peros. Before we go further, though, we glance at the Rashi on the third line under the Gemara text. La'achilas peros, salka daitach, ha mairi. The thinking right now is that we're speaking of the following. B'sodeh, shetarfua maleo peros miyad halokeach. A purchaser of land lost a field, meaning said they came to collect from the purchaser a piece of land full of ready fruits, fruits ready for harvest. V'chozer lokeach ligvois min amoicher. And the purchaser who lost the land because of some creditor is now seeking compensation from the one who sold him the land. If you are to think that we're talking about a creditor, someone who had extended a loan and is now coming to a purchaser to recover his loan through collecting the land that was sold subsequently, if that is the case, mi is lei lebalchov, does a creditor have the right to collect peros gemurim hamechuborim bekarka ve'inon tzrichin lekarka klum? Fruits that are ready, that are ripe, that don't need further nutrition from the land, they're ready for harvesting. Does the balchov have a right to collect those shiyocho letorfon? So as the Gemara goes on, and it explains that this, it's very difficult to set up the source in defense of Rav Nachman by saying it's not talking about a gazlan, but it's rather talking about a creditor coming to recover his loan through collecting land from a purchaser. And the Gemara goes on. If it were talking about a bal chov mi yislei peri, does a bal chov have a right to collect fruits that the source should then speak about the purchaser trying to recover the fruits of the land that was collected from him by a creditor? V'omar Shmuel bal chov goves ha-shevach. Shmuel teaches, and it's important that we focus on Shmuel because our sugya revolves around Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel. Shmuel says that a bal chov, that a creditor has a right to collect the shevach. He has a right to collect the land with its land improvements, shevach in avoperos lo. He does not have a right to collect fruits that are ready for harvest. Elopshita, rather, it seems then obvious from the fact that the source speaks about geiva peros, begeizel v'nigzal. We're talking about a thief and an original owner that's taking away the land from the purchaser. And when the nigzal, the original owner, comes to collect his land, he's going to collect the land with the fruits, with the improvements. Umidoresha begeizel v'nigzal. And from the fact that the peros point is clearly talking about a thief and a victim of theft. Seifa nami, the seifa that speaks about compensation for shevach, nami begeizel v'nigzal, is also talking about the case of a stolen piece of property being recovered from the purchaser by the original owner. And we see in the source that the purchaser is going to recover from the thief shevach as well. He paid $100. He made $50 worth of improvements in the field. He's going to then now collect $150 from the thief. And that's unlike Rav Nachman. That's against Rav Nachman. The Gemara responds, no, we're not going to be asking on Rav Nachman. Midi Irya. Who is to say that just because the Reisha is where it speaks about collection for Peros, and that is a case of Gezel in Exile, that the continuation of the source is also speaking thusly. The Reisha, true. Where it spoke about Peros, that's talking about a victim of theft recovering his land from the purchaser. But the Seifa, the continuation of the source, namely the source, the section that deals with Shevach Karkois, that is not talking about someone who purchased from a thief, but rather it's talking about someone who purchased from a Love, a legitimate purchase of land. He paid $100, made another $50 worth of improvements, and when the land is collected from him by the creditor has a right to collect the Shevach, and the purchaser is going to seek compensation for the Shevach. And we didn't emphasize this before, but that's not a problem of ribis whatsoever. Why not? When the purchaser from the Love, bought land from someone who had borrowed money, he bought the land in a legitimate purchase. The borrower happened to own property. And that's a sale, a complete sale, and he paid $100, and that's the end of the deal. Later, after the land is taken from the purchaser by the creditor, and the purchaser, wants to get compensation for the land with its improvements, that is a completely new deal. That's not a continuation of the initial payment. So since that's a completely new deal, it doesn't appear then as interest, as ribis. The Rashi explains this. You can see this in the Rashi Dibur HaMaschil on Lo Balchov on the first wide line. If you want to look at it as Rashi presents it, he gives you the example that originally the Lokeach, the fellow who purchased from the Lova, from the borrower, he bought a piece of land worth $100. In the course of time, he made improvements. The land went up to $150 in value. The creditor took away the land from that purchaser. The purchaser now seeks compensation from the Lova, from the seller. And the Lova provides him with a piece of land worth $150. That's like a new sale, a new deal. So as we said, it doesn't appear to be like interest. Let us turn back to the Gemara. We have a long question. Vaha lo toni hachi. We have a brisa now that explains the Tanaic source that followed the first triangle. The source that, as we read it, if you recall, we didn't offer much by way of explanation during our initial reading. In the meantime, we've offered explanations that the case of Achilas Peros was referring to a purchase from a thief. The case of Shevach Karkos was referring to the case of a purchase from a Lova, a borrower of money. And now the Gemara questions that explanation. V'ha lo toni hachi. But we have a brisa that does not explain like we said. We said that the case of Shevach Karkois is referring to the purchase of land from a debtor, from someone who borrowed money. Ah, but that's not the case. And we have now, as we said, a brisa, a piece of Tanaic literature that explains the previous source, the source following the first triangle. L'shevach karkois ketzad. In the source that we read there, it mentioned a list of payments, and here we the Brisa elaborates. What do you mean by shevach karkois? How is that to be understood? Harei shegozal sodeh mechaver. Now we dashed underline this because this is in contrast to the explanation that we gave just before of Hal Kedisa, making the case of shevach karkois related to a purchase of land from a love, from a borrower. Not so. The case of shevach karkois is referring back to the case of theft. Someone stole land, mechavero, from his friend. V'harehi yoytze mitachas yodo. Now, now it's leaving his hands. We are first going to read the source with a literal translation. The Gemara is going to point out that this doesn't make any sense, and then we'll upgrade the explanation to what it is, how it's to be understood according to the question. So in the meantime, we have a source telling us about a theft of land, and it's then yoytze mitachas yodo, it leaves his possession, kishu goyve, when he comes to collect, and at this point it sounds like the thief is coming to collect. That doesn't make any sense, but let's keep reading. Kishu goyve, goyve sakeren min achosim mishu bodim, he's entitled to collect the principal from subsequent purchasers, v'shevach geiva min echosim b'nei chorin, and the improvements that he's entitled to collect from currently owned lands, i.e. not from people that bought from him. Heichi domi, what are we speaking about? In lema kidekotoni, if we're going to read the source as it is, namely that the thief didn't even sell the land, but rather the thief stole land and it's leaving his possession. And then the source went on to say, when he comes to collect, well, gazlon miman govi, who is the thief coming to collect from? That doesn't make any sense. Elolav kagain. We've used a diamond marking to highlight the word kagon, where we will. Where the Gemara sets up the sources cited in order to develop the question on Rav Nachman. So what's the case? El kagoin shegozal sodeh mechaveroi, a thief stole land from an owner, the umochro li acher, and the thief sold it to a purchaser, v'hishbicha, and the purchaser made improvements. And in the source, we are taught that the fellow who bought from the gazlan, after the original owner recovers the land, that purchaser who made improvements is going to collect his improvement value as well as, or meaning in addition to the purchase price. And that's not like Rav Nachman. That's our kashan Rav Nachman. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman responds, Lav tirutzi kometartzis. Did you not have to restate the source itself? Did you not say that the source cannot be read as it is? Did we not already show that the source in its current state, in its original literal state, doesn't make any sense? And you had to redo it. Taritznami b'balchov. So redo the source and say that the case of shvach karkos is not referring to a case of a theft of land whatsoever, but rather it's referring to a case of someone who had borrowed money, who subsequently sold his land to a purchaser who made improvements, and the creditor recovers the land with its improvements from the purchaser, and the purchaser is seeking compensation for the shevach. That is the Rav Nachman says that's what the source is talking about, and hence it has nothing to do with a purchaser from a thief. Toshma, lachilas peros ketzad. Once again, we are seeing a brisa that comes to elucidate the original source that I get. That when we read it, we mentioned that we weren't going to give any explanation. That was after the first triangle, and once again, here's the reason why we avoided trying to give any explanation, because that phrase of Ein Motzin Lachilas Peros is going to be explained here by a brisa. What does it say? L'achilos peros ketzad. What is meant in that original source when it spoke about achilas peros? Harei shegozal soda mechavero. Harei hi yoytze mitachas yodoi. Once again, we're going to read it as it is, and the Gemara will upgrade this later. It speaks about someone stealing a field from his friend, Varehi Yoitse Mitachas Yodo, and it's now leaving his possession, Kishu Geiva, Geivas HaKeren Michosim Shubodim. The principal value of the land can be recovered even from subsequent purchasers, Uperos Geiva Minichosim B'nei Choren, and the fruit content, the fruit value he collects from currently held properties. Hechi Domi. What is this source really speaking about? In lemo kidekotoni, if you're going to leave the source as it is in its literal form, in its literal form, we spoke about a person stealing a piece of land, and it's yotzimitachas yodo, and when the thief comes to collect, yeah, but gazlo miman dovi, who does a thief collect from? Elo lav, rather. The source describes someone who stole a piece of land, umochro liacher, and he sold the land to a purchaser, vehishbicha, and he made improvements in the land. And the source speaks about the purchaser after the land is collected from him, he, the purchaser, is going to be collecting not only the principal value, but the value of the fruits as well, which represents improvement. That means he, this purchaser from the thief, is going to receive from the thief more money, more value than he initially, than he as the purchaser originally gave the thief. That is a problem for Rav Nachman. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the use of a double underline. On the side, under the Mivneh, under the structural note, the double underline represents Sholosh Tshuvos. We're going to see three of these, three answers. Shemazbirim es hamoker b'tzura shelo medubar lokech shebo ligvois shevach min hagazlon. Shemochroi loy. That we're not speaking about a case that represents a problem for Rav Nachman. Namely, we're not speaking about someone who bought land from a thief and is now trying to recover the improvements that he made. Ubekach lehogein al Rav Nachman, and with this, then we're defending Rav Nachman sheposak belokech min hagazlon. Rav Nachman, who had ruled in the case of a purchase from a thief, shevach ein lo de merci karibis, because it would appear that he's collecting interest. So now, how then do we explain this source? Omar Rova. I mentioned the double underline before. Take the bird's eye view of the Gemara, and it'll take you to the upper part of Tes Vav Amud Aleph, where you'll eventually reach number 3, where Ravashi is also marked thusly. So the first answer, Omar Rova, Hocha B'mai Askinon. In the Tanakh source we just read, what are we talking about? We're not talking about a lokeach. We're not talking about a purchaser. Rather, kegoin shegozal soda mechavero maleo peros. A thief stole a piece of property with fruits ready for the harvest, full of fruits. V'ochal es haperos v'chofar bo beros shichnu moros. And the thief consumed the fruits, and he also distorted the land by digging, ruining the land in a physical form, digging pits, different types of pits. Boroshich and Boroshich, so three different kinds of pits. Bo Nigzal, Ligvois Karen. You'll notice we have a dot underline under Nigzal. The reason for that is to draw your attention to the answer that Rava is giving, that we're not talking about a purchaser from a thief. Hence, no relation to that which Rav Nachman was speaking about. So what are we speaking about? Here we're talking about the original owner who's coming to collect Bo Nigzal Ligvois Keren. The Nigzal is coming to collect the Keren, the principal value. He has a right to collect from those people who may have purchased property from the thief after this theft had taken place. So the Nigzal will go to the Meshubadim, the purchasers. The question might be asked, what do you mean he goes to the purchasers? Isn't this thief holding on to the land itself? Give him back the piece of land itself that he originally owned. So Rashi points out this question. He also answers, since the thief depreciated the land, giving the original owner this piece of ruined land back to him would not be compensation. It's worth much less than it was originally. So he's seeking out an alternative, we'll say, value compensation, and he goes, therefore, if the thief doesn't have any other means of refunding his purchase, the victim goes to Mishubadim, to those other properties that the thief had sold in the meantime. Bo Nigzal Ligvois Peros, the original owner wants compensation also for the fruit that this thief stole and consumed. Goyva Minuchosa Benechor, there, for the peros he can't collect from purchasers, that he can collect only from the Benechor, and those are from property or money that the thief himself is currently in possession of. Rabo ba Ravuna Omar Kagon. Rabo gives his explanation of the Tanaic source involving the stolen land. He says Kagon, and we continue at the top of Daf Tes Vov. Shinotluha Masikin. A person had stolen land, and while in the possession of the thief, some other hoodlums, robbers came along, and they are referred to as the Masikin, and they took possession of the land from the thief. Apparently these marauders came into town seeking property and value, and when they came to the thief pointed out the field that he had stolen, and he said to these Masikin, "Hey, take this piece of land." It just happens to be that very land that the thief himself had stolen. So the thief is responsible for the loss of the land into the hands of these Masikin marauders. Now the original owner seeks compensation. He seeks restitution. Bo Nigzal Ligvois Keren, the Nigzal, the victim of the initial theft, comes to the thief that stole from him. The thief that stole from him is responsible for the loss of the land because he pointed out to the Masikin for them to come and take it. So the thief, as we said, is responsible for the loss of the land. And the Nigzal now wants compensation for the basic land. So the Nigzal comes, Ligvois Keren, Goyve Minuchosim Mishubodim. He's entitled to go even to subsequent purchasers who bought from this thief property, and he, the victim of the theft, can collect property that they bought from the thief. Bo Nigzal Ligvois Peros, Goyve Minuchosim Benechorin. The Nigzal wants compensation for the fruit that was in the land that he can receive only from the Bnei Chorin, the lands currently held by the thief, but he cannot go to the purchasers. You notice the difference between Rava's description and Rabo Bar Avuna's description. In Rava's description, the thief had been responsible for depreciation, physical depreciation of the land itself. No reference to additional marauders. And Rabba did not speak about any distortion of the land itself, but did make reference to the Gazlon losing the land to the Masikin. The Gemara, in the next couple of lines, explains why each one did not explain like the other. Rava loy omar kerabo bar Ravuna, because in the original source that they are coming to explain, you see the phrase hare hi yoitza mitachas yodo. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text, and you can see where this quote is coming from in the original source that we're analyzing now, namely the source that followed the last triangle on Yudalim Amud Beis. And in that source, you saw the expression hare hi yoitza mitachas yodo. Bedino mashma. It conveys the idea of the land leaving his possession through a court procedure. So that is speaking about the nigzal, the victim, taking the land from the thief himself. The rabo bar Rav Huna lo omar kirova. Why? Why did rabo bar Rav Huna not follow Rava's approach? Because harehi yoitze mitachas yodo, that expression be'eno mashma means as it is, as the land is, namely without any digging of pits in it. So that Rabba Rav Huna explained that the Masikin took the land as it is from the thief, and that's Hare He Yoitza, and behold, he meaning the land is Yoitza, leaves the thief, Mitachas Yodo, means from the thief's possession, as it is, Be'eno, as it is, without the digging of pits in it. Not, in other words, not like Rava had explained. Rav Ashi Omar Litzdodin Kotani. The source is red Litzdodin. What do we mean Litzdodin? Litzdodin literally means two sides. We'll explain that as we go on in the Gemara. Rav Ashi said that the source that we have been explaining so far through Rav and Rabba Rav Huna, now Rav Ashi's explanation, Kagon Shegozal Soda Mechaverim Leo Peros, the theft of land full of fruits took place. The ochal es haperos, and the thief consumed the peros. Umochar es asode. Here we have the new element that Rav Ashi introduces in this series of explanations, that the source does refer to a sale as well. The thief, after consuming the fruits, then sold the land, and now the land is leaving the possession of the lokeach, of the purchaser. Bo lokeach ligvois keren. The lokeach wants to recover the principal amount that he paid for the land. Goiva minichosim ishubodim. He can collect from purchasers that purchased land from the thief after his purchase took place. Bo nigzal. And now the original owner is also seeking compensation. Bo nigzal ligvois peros, goyve minechosim b'nei chorin. If you look closely at the way we marked the last couple lines, the squiggle underline before two lines up, the ochalas peros, the compensation for the fruits spoken of in, or alluded to in this source, was compensation that the original owner was seeking out, the nigzal was seeking out. And the compensation for the principal value that the lokeach paid. You notice we dashed underlined before the word bola, the word umochar es asode. That corresponds to the lokeach who's seeking compensation for the money that he paid to the thief for purchase of that land. But as far as the general structure of the Gemara is concerned, there is no reference to a lokeach seeking compensation more than the amount he paid to the thief. And in fact, only when you get to Rav Ashi do you see a reference made to a lokeach. according to Rova and Rabba Bar Avuna, there was no reference to a purchaser. Bain LaRava, Bain LaRabba Bar Avuna. We're going back to the first two opinions that we had our double underlines highlighting, Rava and Rabba Bar Avuna. They spoke about the thief, I should say the victim, the nigzal, seeking compensation for the value, the principal value of his land. And in their explanation, they spoke about that Karen is the principal value being recoverable by seeking payment from the Mishubadim, from the subsequent purchasers. That is difficult to understand. And the Gemara said, why is that difficult to understand? Did we not say before that when you paid money for you're trying to collect money from the thief, you're not dealing with an actual written out loan? At best, you would view compensation of a debt of money owed to you as an oral type loan. So the Gemara says, whether according to Rava or according to Rabba Bar Avuna, that spoke about compensation made to the victim by his going and collecting the principal value of the land to subsequent purchasers, the debt owed to the original owner is the equivalent of milve al pehu. We're not talking about an actual milve. Milve is a loan, an oral loan. We're not talking about an actual loan. However, we're talking about a debt that has been established through the theft. And that debt is no more pronounced or established than an oral loan. And there are rules concerning payments of oral loans. Debts that are of this nature, namely, it's a debt that's not accounted for in a contractual form with witnesses signing upon it. The debt owed to the victim of the theft is a debt that's no different than a milval peh in halachic terms. And according to the rules of payment, someone who is collecting a loan that he extended orally without witnesses signing on a document, such loans cannot be recovered from subsequent purchasers. How then the Rava and Rabba Bar Avuna explain that the nigzal can collect the principal value of the land that was stolen from him from Mishubadim? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, kishe omad bedin v'hodar zovin. First, the translation. There was a court ruling before the thief in question sold his other properties to the Mishubadim. Before that happened, the thief was brought to justice. He was brought to the court. And the thief ordered the court ordered the thief. Let's emphasize this. The court ordered the thief to compensate the nigzal. That established public awareness of the debt that the thief has to the victim. The Hodar Zovin, and after that, after public knowledge was established of this debt that the thief had to the victim, he then sold his lands to other purchasers. That establishes a koil, public knowledge. That is no different than the loan we referred to before that is accounted for in a document with witnesses that sign upon, thereupon. A milva bishtar, as that is referred to, will create a lien on the borrower's properties, and subsequent purchasers are subject to collection by the original creditor, because when they bought from the loiva, from the borrower, they knew that this man owed money to earlier creditors. That also is what's called a kill, literally a voice, public knowledge. So once we describe a situation of purchasers buying land from an individual upon whom there were earlier financial claims, those subsequent purchasers are liable to cover his debts, those debts that were well known. So in the case that the source that Rova and Rava Bravuna were explaining, that a victim of theft was seeking compensation for the land that was stolen from him, and he is allowed to go to subsequent purchasers who bought from the thief. They bought from the thief after the court ordered the thief to compensate the original owner of the stolen land for the property stolen. Well then, Ihachi, the Gemara asks, Peros Nami. Well, if that's the case, then why can't the original owner seek the fruit value compensation from the Shubadim as well? We explained earlier that both according to Rova and Rava Baravuna, when the Nigzal comes to collect for the fruits that were stolen along with his land, he can collect them only from B'nai Chorin, from land currently held by the thief and not from subsequent purchasers. According to our explanation now, those subsequent purchasers knew about the theft. So the Gemara says, Kishomad Bedin al HaKeren Velo Omad Bedin al HaPeros. The original victim, the Nigzal, brought the thief to court with a claim on the principal value of the land. He didn't lay claim in court to the value of the fruits. The Gemara asks, Umay Pascha, how is it so obvious to you to make such a distinction? Answer, Stamo de Milsa, the standard practice of people, Kitova Inish, when people come to make seek compensation, and in our case, the Nigzal, when he came to seek compensation, Karna Tova Bereisha, he first sought out the Keren. Keren is the principal value of the land. That's the first claim that is made. So in our case, the Nigzal had made claim initially, and in the meantime only for the Keren, for the principal value of the land. That became public knowledge. Then the thief sold other properties, and later on it might be that the Nigzal lays claim to the Peros, but in the meantime the purchasers had already bought the land before that claim was made. So they can't be held liable for compensating the victim for the payros. The Gemara at this point is introduced with a topic heading, the nose that we have in our margin, which reads, Biruv Shita Shmuel, clarification of Shmuel's opinion, Be'inyan Gvias Aloikeach, Es Shvochoy Me'es HaGazlon. The topic that we've been discussing all along. If you recall, we had a firebox around Rav Nachman who quoted Shmuel. Here we're going to make reference back to Shita Shmuel. We have a little star indicating that you can look back to Yud Dalid Omid Beis. In the upper part of the page we saw when Shmuel initially appeared, he said that Shevach Ein Lo. Now, the Gemara asks back on that point. Vesovar Shmuel lokeach migazlon less lay shvacha, is it so that the purchaser from a thief who subsequently made improvements cannot get compensation from the thief for those improvements? That's what Shmuel seemed to say back on Yud Dalet Amud Beis. He said, Moi seish lo shevach ein lo. V'ho amar lei Shmuel l'rav chinen o bar shilas. Shmuel said to Rav Chininah. Rav Chininah was a scribe, we call him a court scribe. And Shmuel told him that when you write a document, let's say a document of sale, consult with the seller if he wants to accept upon himself certain obligations. Amlich, continuing the Gemara, Amlich means consult with the seller. Amlich uksoiv shufro shvacho piri. Seek out from him, does he want to accept obligations that right now we're going to refer to these by the words shufra, shvacha, we dashed under the line shvacha, and you can guess why, of course. Bimai, what are we talking about over here? E babal choiv, if we're talking about a case where a man sells land to a purchaser and the seller is going to be accepting upon himself obligations in the event that his creditors takes the land from the purchaser, if that's what we're talking about, mi islei peri, would there be any peri collection by the Baal Chov? In the instructions that Shmuel gave to Rav Chininah, he also said, ask the seller if he's going to accept upon himself peri, and that would indicate that the seller will have to compensate for peros. But if you're talking about a case where the buyer loses his land to a creditor, the creditor doesn't take peros though. V'amar Shmuel, Shmuel himself says, Baal Chayv Goyva Es HaShevach, that a creditor is entitled to collect Shevach. Shevach in Avo Peros Lo. Improvements that the lokeach made, that the creditor is entitled to collect. However, fruits he's not entitled to collect. El olav belokeach migazlon. But rather, it must be a case of someone who bought land from a thief, and the purchaser made improvements, and the original owner comes and takes away the land with the improvements, with the fruits in it. And the purchaser is going to get compensation from the seller, i.e. the thief, for the Shevach as well. So how could Shmuel originally tell us in the case of Lokeach Migazlon that the Lokeach is not entitled to get compensation from the Gazlon for the improvements, when here Shmuel tells Rav Chininah Bar Shilas, when you're writing up a document for a seller, and who's the seller over here? The seller is the thief who is selling the stolen land to a purchaser. And the purchaser, once the seller took upon himself the obligation to compensate for the Shevach, he will have to pay the Shevach. So you have a thief getting paid $100 for the land, and then the purchaser making another $50 worth of improvements, and the purchaser is going to go back to the thief who sold him the land after the purchaser loses it to the original owner and get compensation not only for the principal but for the improvements that he made. So you see, contrary to what based on Shmuel's instructions to Rav Chininah, you see, contrary to what Shmuel said before. So we have are we then to say that we have a contradiction within Shmuel? Omar Rav Yosef. Notice we have a trapezoid or volcano shape on the side of under our Mivneh, our structural note. We highlight the expression Hocha b'mayaskinon. Chuvos Liyashev Hastira B'Shmuel. Here we're going to attempt to resolve what we just presented as a seeming contradiction in Shmuel. So Omar Rav Yosef, Hocha b'mayaskinon, here that the Gazlon is going to be paying back more than he received. Gagoin sheyesh loy kaka. The Gazlan is going to be paying the purchaser not in cash, but in land. Up till now, Shmuel said the lokeach from a gazlan can't get the shevach, that's because it appeared as ribbis. What happened? The lokeach paid the gazlan $100, made improvements worth $50, and then is going to get in, and then would expect to get from the gazlan $150 back. He paid $100 in cash and is going to get back $150. That, Shmuel said, cannot be. That's forbidden. However, here, the lokeach from the gazlan, the purchaser from the gazlan, paid him $100 in cash. And since the gazlan is paying him back in land worth $150, that's okay. Amale Abaye. Abaye asks on Rav Yosef, v'chi mutar luvoi saw b'saw b'mokim sheyesh lo karka. Now, this is an expression which we're not going to get into right now, but the expression luvoi saw b'saw is an expression that we say refers to ribbis. Is one allowed to borrow with the intention of paying back more when the repayment is going to be in terms of land? Of course not. That also is interest. Omar Lay. So Rav Yosef answers, Hosam Halva. In the case of a loan, you're right. If you were dealing with something someone borrowing money and then paying back more for the loan, that would be forbidden, even if the payback is in land. However, hacha, in our case, we're talking about a purchase, zvini, a purchase was made, a sale. The gazlan sold land to the purchaser. That's not a loan. It's a sale. It's true, it's a sale of hot air, etc., but it's not under the guise of a loan. And therefore, we can be lenient in this respect, that if the payback made or the compensation made to the lokeach, to the purchaser by the thief, is in a form other than cash, in this case, it's the payback is made in terms of land, then even if the land is worth more than the original cash that the gazlan received, it's okay. So under circumstances like that, that's what Shmuel was instructing Rav Chinuno Bar Shilas. Iko Diamri, Omar Rav Yosef. Hocho b'mayaskinon, another version of what Rav Yosef answered. The din of Shmuel, where we see that a lokeach migazlan is entitled to receive compensation for the shevach, is kagain shekanu miyadoi. Kanu miyado means a kinyan was made, a gesture of acquisition was made regarding the improvements. At the time that the sale took place, immediately, before there was any, let's say, schar hamtonas mos, which means payment for waiting for money to be paid back, which is an interest problem, where in general, when a person loans money, he waits till he gets paid back. And then when he gets paid back and takes interest, the additional amount that he's paid, the interest that he's paid, is a payment for his waiting to get his money back. That, of course, is forbidden. In this case, the seller happened to be the thief. He made a kinyan regarding the shevach, regarding the improvements that he will make good on the improvements in the event that the original owner takes away the land. So that's konu miyado. A kinyan was made immediately between the purchaser from the thief and the thief who was selling the land. Omale Abaye. Abaye asks, v'chimutu luvoi saw b'saw b'mokam shekonu miyado, is an interest type loan allowed to be made where a kinyan is made at the very outset? Of course not. Omar Lay, so Rav Yosef answers, Hasam Halva, the case of Lilvoi Sabasa, that's a case of a loan. Hachazvini, here, we were dealing with what appeared to be a sale. So it was a financial arrangement that was not under the rubric of a loan, but rather of a sale. And since that's the case, the interest problem is diminished, and hence, since a kinyan was made at the very outset before any time lapsed, the purchaser is therefore entitled to receive compensation for the shevach when the improved land is taken away from him by the nigzal. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.